Hi, welcome to an all-new Nevada Newsmakers. I'm Paul Enos with the Nevada Motor Transport Association. We're very fortunate to have one of Northern Nevada's leading legislators here in the studio today. Marlene Lockhart has the rundown.
Today we're going to be speaking with Sheila Leslie, a very powerful assemblywoman from Northern Nevada.
And after that, we have our Power Pundit panel with Dick Gamick, Mike Killerby, and Marilyn York. Stay tuned.
Nevada Newsmakers, brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park, the resort at Red Hawk, and the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
Be here, not at divorce court. I'm divorce attorney Marilyn York. We protect men. You deserve a fair financial settlement and time with your children. We only seek men as clients and negotiate before going to court. Divorce is tough. I've been there, and I share my daughter with my ex-husband. Sarah, Raina, and I can help you.
If you need an attorney that gives a damn, call 324-7979 or visit MarilynYork.net for all your family law needs.
All systems check. All right, Sam, let's go check out some B&D roof.
Hey, Ken. From up here, you can really tell the difference a quality D&D roof makes.
You're right, Sam. With our experience, knowledge, and staff, nothing compares to a D&D roof.
Hey, look down there. It's our D&D roofing crew.
I'll bank the plane so we can get a closer look. Sam! Ah! You watch your company's bottom line, and I'll cover the top of it.
For more than a decade, the Southern Nevada Water Authority has been helping the community embrace conservation as a way of life. That includes replacing more than 50 million square feet of grass with water-smart landscaping. During the worst drought on record, watering restrictions and tough landscaping codes have reduced the community's water use by billions of gallons, even as thousands of new residents were moving into Nevada. That's smart water management, and that's our promise to Nevada.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
Welcome back. Today we're here with Assemblywoman Sheila Leslie. Assemblywoman, how are you?
Good. Thank you for having me.
Thanks.
Well, Sheila, obviously the biggest issue facing the state of Nevada is the budget, and right. We're soon, in just a few short weeks now, to begin the budget process. What have you any insight into what the governor's budget is going to contain and what that's going to look like when he presents it?
That's an excellent question. We're all looking forward, of course, to the state of the state on January 15th this year. As you know, the governor has to present a balanced budget, just like we have to approve a balanced budget. And there's what I'm hearing is there's still a pretty huge gap. He's talked about some efficiencies in government, maybe some consolidation. We think that, and I think his people would agree, that if we're going to balance the budget with no additional revenue, there's going to be something like a 34% cut in the state budget. So that's very worrisome. But I'm not sure how he plans to do it. He hasn't let out very many details, which is typical of any governor. He wants to save it for, you know, his big speech.
Now, the legislature also has a part in this, you know, as far as making tax policy, making budget policy. Do you think there's going to be a lot of initiatives coming from the legislature to increase taxes this session?
Not necessarily to increase taxes. I think we have to balance the budget. We've been working, as you know, over the last year to try and reprioritize what state services really are essential. We've got to boil it down to the things that we are mandated to do. And as you know, 93% of the state budget goes to public safety, to education, both K-12 and higher ed, and health and human services. So we have to look within those and prioritize what is absolutely essential.
Would Millennium Scholarships be in danger of one of the things that would be cut?
Sure. I mean, nobody wants to cut it. We think it's a great program. We've already had to raid the scholarship fund a couple of times just to make the budget balance this year. But that would be something I think that could be on the chopping block.
Are we at the stage now where a better approach might be to just eliminate whole programs instead of taking another 34% away from everyone so no one is doing anything well. Is it time to think about the Nevada State College, just big chunks of things like that that might have to go?
I think it is, Marlene, unfortunately. One thing I'm worried about is Medicaid, of course, is a big chunk of the state budget. And if we go much lower in Medicaid, two things are going to happen. Rural hospitals are going to close. We've already seen this week two big hospitals in Las Vegas talk about closing their emergency rooms because they can't keep operating at a loss. So if we start cutting big chunks of health care, that's going to hurt people. And we're in danger of losing the program altogether because the federal government says you have to have a certain level. Once you go below that level, you could lose it. And we're already 51st in the nation in our per capita Medicaid spending, so we don't have much lower we can go.
I think one of the things that has been so frustrating to me, there's so much talk about cuts and continuing to cut, but I don't think people realize what you just said, that when 93% of the budget are in the public safety health areas, that's where the money is. You could eliminate all of the rest of state government and it doesn't get us there.
Right.
If you eliminated everything else, it doesn't balance the budget.
Right.
So these cuts are where they're really going to impact people now.
Absolutely. This week we've seen the Department of Health and Human Services cut back further on child care subsidies, for example. And some people may say, well, that's, you know, too bad. People are going to have to pay more for their child care. Well, in this economy, what's going to happen is those kids are going to go unsupervised or to substandard daycare, which means there'll be more abuse and neglect complaints filed, which means more kids will come into the foster care system. It's just a ripple effect at this point when you start cutting much more.
If you were queen of the world for a day, how would you fix our budget problem?
I think you prioritize our needs and really look very carefully at public safety, health and human services, education. I think you look at the abatements and the tax exemptions that have grown over the years to a pretty big chunk of money. I haven't seen the report yet, but I think you have to look at
that. Do you have any examples of those?
Oh, well, every tax exemption has a big lobby for that particular one. I don't want to start picking apart.
And most of those tax exemptions, too, that'd be something that would have to go to a vote of the people.
Some of them would, yeah, absolutely. So it's not that easy to do. And then I think you do have to look at revenue. I think you absolutely do have to look at revenue.
Now, back in the campaign, we've talked about, you know, different forms of taxation, including increasing the payroll tax and net profits tax. Do you think that our economy right now could handle that, the private sector could handle a tax increase like that at this juncture?
The private sector never wants a tax increase. I know that from firsthand experience. Even in the good years, it's not a time to raise taxes. So, and it isn't a good time to raise taxes. We want to save jobs. The economy is a mess. We all know that. But at the same point, I think the private sector wants a trained workforce. They want to know that criminals are behind bars, the violent criminals. And we're talking about closing prisons. What happens when you close prisons, Paul? Criminals have to go somewhere.
Well, and there's some prisons that, I mean, we're looking at closing where you actually have, you know, the one in Carson City especially,
sure,
where you have more people working there than you have actual prisoners.
But those prisoners have to go somewhere. And if you start double bunking them, triple bunking them, which is what some states are doing now, you risk lawsuits against that ripple effect. Or you let the criminals go. And I don't think the private sector is going to be in favor of that either.
We will be right back with Assemblywoman Sheila Leslie.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Discover a place where entrees are served free of distractions. Wine Spectator has.
Item 29 was held, so that brings us to item 30, which is related to 31 and 32 and can be heard together if the commission wishes.
Items 30, 31, and 32 have been called forward. Is there any discussion on those items from the commission?
Yeah. Hey, Roy. It'd really mean a lot to me if we could put to motion item 30. It's my favorite, personal favorite.
There's an easier way inside local politics. Las Vegas Review-Journal. Get inside.
If you're looking for real craftsmanship in metal fabrication, Deluxe Welding will creatively support your design. They take welding to an art form. Custom fabrication, beams and columns, railings, truss brackets, steel and precast concrete stairs. They can come to your location or provide you with the material for your project. Steel, stainless steel, and aluminum. See Don and Matt's work at DeluxeWelding.com. If it's made of metal, they'll make it magnificent.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
We're back today with Assemblywoman Sheila Leslie. Assemblywoman, you were very involved in the Obama campaign, and you're going to be going back for the inauguration. But let's talk about some of the policies that President-elect is looking at that could affect the state. How do you think the stimulus package is going to benefit not just Northern Nevada, but our entire state?
Great question. I think we're all very anxious to see the details of the stimulus package. I think he's going down the exact right path, which is to generate jobs. And I'm hoping that it comes down with Medicaid help. If they give the states more money for Medicaid, that eases the pressure there, and then we can spread our money to other things. I hope he comes down with an infrastructure package to fix our roads, to fix our bridges, to fix the flood control project. I think there are a lot of things that I've heard bandied around. Again, I haven't seen the details that could really help our state and put people back to work, which I think should be the number one priority.
One of the things that is talked about a lot is the infrastructure needs and the stimulus package that would build the roads and bridges and the flood control project. But I've heard a concern that one of the problems is that that will put a lot of construction people back to work. But what about women? Mm-hmm. What sort of stimulus can help the woman that's been laid off in an office or slow down a small business that can get families back to work again?
Yeah, that's an excellent point. Hopefully we'll see some more money come down from the feds for child care. Most of the money we have in our state for child care subsidies is federal money, so that would be one area that they could help. But there's more and more women. I know from our drug court program how many women go out and are flaggers and are starting to get into the trades, and so I would hope that some of those construction jobs will be filled by women.
Well, and I'm just going to give a quick plug. I encourage any woman out there who's looking for a career to consider the trucking industry. It's one that can
sure.
be lucrative, and you know, we'd love to see them in our workforce.
Women are great drivers.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Sheila, one of the concerns with the stimulus plan is we would be spending money on some things that we wouldn't need, like one of the things the Reno City Council suggested is a light rail system to go up and down Virginia Street at $262 million. How do we balance creating jobs and accountability of making sure that that money we're spending is spent properly?
Well, that's a very good point. In Nevada, we have so many infrastructure needs that hopefully we would be able to prioritize the things that are most needed. Personally, I'm a fan of light rail, and I don't know if the Virginia Street project is the right project, but I would like to see some of that money put into mass transportation, because I think that is the way we need to go, especially in Southern Nevada. I think that
we've tried it with the monorail.
Well, the monorail doesn't even go to the airport.
Exactly.
The monorail to nowhere. I mean, that was, I think, an example of very poor planning. We need to start thinking more realistically and more logically about our mass transportation needs.
And that's something that, and I know you've been concerned with, is growth in the area and how do we address the growth, especially here in Northern Nevada. What initiatives or what policies are you going to be looking at this next legislative session to address our growth issues?
You know, I don't serve on government affairs, and that's where most of the planning and growth goes, so I don't really have too much personally that I'm working on in that area, although I do have a bill on behalf of water people, the people who put the initiative on the ballot to clarify exactly how regional planning should be incorporating water. But I'm not really an expert, but I'm sure that'll be a hot topic.
Absolutely.
We'll have a lot of policy issues, I think, this session.
And getting back to the schedule of the legislative session, you start early in January. What's the timeline that you see developing for introduction of any revenue measures or coming together after this statewide tour of listening and hearing what the essential needs are? Mm-hmm. What's the schedule going to turn out to be to give the legislature time to consider these important issues?
Not only time to consider it, but time to implement whatever we decide. So I think you're going to see more of that addressed in the earlier part of the session than our more traditional wait to the last minute, throw things together. I'm hopeful that's going to happen. We'll have the state of the state, then we'll have 2 weeks of budget hearings to prepare us, and then we have a lot of pre-filed bills. We start the first Monday in February, which is early in the month this time. So we'll hit the ground running, and I think you're going to see a lot of activity in those first 2 months.
Assemblywoman, you're one of Barbara Buckley's key advisors in Carson City. She's been touring the state with her Nevada 20 plan. Can you tell us a little about that?
Yeah, it's been fascinating, the different focus groups and town hall meetings that Speaker Buckley has held. And a lot of great ideas have been generated through those meetings and through her website. And we're currently evaluating those, following up, having our staff follow up on different trends and looking at a lot of different scenarios. I can tell you the speaker hasn't landed on any specific thing. She's still listening, and people sure have a lot to say, especially state workers. A lot of good information coming from state workers.
Well, and since this is both her last term and your last term, would you see any of those? Do you think you'd see any of those suggestions be put in a bill this session?
Oh, absolutely. I think you'll see us act on some of those suggestions. It's not just suggestions for Speaker Buckley, it's suggestions for our entire state. And I think you'll see a lot of collaboration, as you did in the special session we just finished this time between Republicans and Democrats, because we all live here. We all want Nevada not just to survive, but to thrive. We have families here. We have kids and grandkids. So I think I'll go out on a limb and predict you'll see a lot less conflict this session than perhaps we've had in the past, and a lot more work towards solutions that will work for all of us.
Well, I hope you're right. We will be right back with our Power Pundit panel. Thank you very much, Assemblywoman.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
Success at TRI has come from public-private partnerships. We're here at the USA Parkway Extension with Roger Norman, master developer, and Bob Hess, Story County Commissioner. Let's listen in.
Roger, I see you're building some more roadway out here.
Yeah, we're completed 4 miles. We have 4 miles under construction, and we're on our way to Highway 50.
Welcome to the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, the largest industrial park in the world, building economic prosperity for Nevada.
The best workout in town is at European Fitness, $46 to join and $23 per month, and everything is included. They have state-of-the-art equipment, your own trainer, and a great cardio theater, and it's all included. Yoga and aerobic classes, all new pool and spa, and it's all included. Plus tanning, a hair salon, and a great restaurant. European Fitness is still the best deal in town, only $46 to join and $23 per month. Everything's included for one great price at European Fitness on Virginia next to the Peppermill.
Attention, all Medicare beneficiaries who need assistance getting around their homes. There is a Medicare benefit that may qualify you for a new power chair or scooter at little to no cost to you. Imagine one scooter or power chair that could improve your mobility and your life. One Medicare benefit that, with private insurance, may entitle you to pay little to nothing to own it. One company that can make it all happen.
Your power chair will be paid in full.
The Scooter Store.
Hi, I'm Dan Weston. We're experts at getting you the scooter or power chair you need. In fact, if we pre-qualify you for Medicare reimbursement and Medicare denies your claim, we'll give you your new power chair or scooter free.
I didn't pay a penny out of pocket for my power chair. With help from the Scooter Store, Medicare and my insurance covered it all.
Call the Scooter Store for free information today.
Call 1-800-461-9487 for free information. That number again is 1-800-461-9487. That's 1-800-461-9487.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
Hi, welcome back. We're here with our Power Pundit panel. We have Dick Gamick, Marilyn York, and Mike Hillerby, and of course, Marlene Lockhart. Today, the news, they said that 2009, we can expect 73,000 retail stores from close down. You know, we've had all this doom and gloom on our economy. What are you guys seeing in the community? How is it affecting you and your life, Dick?
Well, it of course has an impact on the entire system. That knocks revenues down again in the form of taxes, et cetera. Of course, when you knock revenues down, then you have to start cutting even more. I'm not so sure where that 73,000 though stands from the norm. I can't recall what the norm is for a year small businesses going out, because there are thousands of them do that every year.
Sector.
So I don't know what the difference would be there, how much more of an increase that is. I'm not quite in the gloom and doom that the media hits all the time.
Marilyn, are you seeing an uptick in the number of divorces in a bad economy?
I think, yes, for us, it's been a significant increase. This is typically a slower season for us, with the exception of the Who Has the Child for Christmas fight, of course. But it's been one of our busiest seasons ever, and I've been doing this 10 years, and it's very, very busy. It's just the fact that people can't afford it as much, so we have to be a little bit more creative in how they can pay us. But I feel like when the economy's down, people want their personal lives to be happier, and they find that they get rid of their husband or their wife because they've been putting up with certain things, and now they just want to be free emotionally. So they're willing to pay the price even when they don't have the money. They will find the money from their families or finances or credit cards or whatever they can do to get rid of that extra emotional baggage that is weighing on them in addition to the economy.
Mike, what impact are you seeing?
Well, I think we all know at this point somebody or a neighbor or somebody down the street who's lost a home, who is in foreclosure, knows somebody that's lost a job and is really struggling. So I don't know much of anybody at this point that hasn't been impacted by this economy or knows somebody in their family or a very good friend who's been impacted. And clearly we're going to see more of that. And that's, and Dick's probably, his business is going to go up too. If more people are out of work, that means they're going to be writing bad checks or shoplifting. We were talking about that before we went on the air. And that's unfortunate.
Mike, I have to ask you, speaking about jobs, it seems like with this present administration, the qualifications aren't really required for some of the jobs and appointments being made. But isn't there anyone in the governor's office that can advise the governor that he needs to follow the law in making appointments? I'm talking about the most recent tourism director where...
You know, obviously I don't know what precipitated that move. He's got some good people in the office that I think know do that. I don't understand it. I was surprised to see that on Christmas Eve, knowing something about that process and what the law says. I think there are some good staff members there. I can't explain, obviously, what happened.
Well, and I think he has made some good picks. I think you look at, you know, Bruce Breslow, who is now the head of nuclear projects. I mean, I think that was a decent pick. I think his new head of the Department of Motor Vehicles is actually a fantastic pick, Edgar Roberts. So I don't know that you can say that all of his picks can be bad. You know, some may be head scratching to some people, but I do think he has had some good ones as well.
Bruce Breslow has no background or technical expertise
Bob Lux didn't either when he took the job. Bob Lux was a teacher. Bruce Breslow, that is a PR job.
Bob Lux was in the energy office for years before he took the position.
Marlene, that is a PR job. Breslow is a PR guy, and it absolutely is.
It is not a PR job.
And there's a question, should we even have that agency? Our senior senator has said that he can take care of the problem in Washington, D.C.
That's a whole other subject if you want to talk about should we have that office. But would you view that position as a PR position, Mike?
Yeah, that's certainly a part of the job, but there is a tremendous amount of technical expertise that needs to go
Thank
on.
You. Well,
yeah.
I will
with
tell you,
job.
Bruce Breslow has, he was on the Transportation Services Authority. I think that Bruce can come up to speed. If he can come up to speed on arcane tow truck, limousine, taxi cab rules, he can come up to speed on this.
Dick, as we're talking about the economy, though, doesn't this go in to give a credibility issue with the public that here we're talking about making these dire cuts in state government in places, and then we're fooling around and putting people with questionable background into some of the highest paying jobs, tourism, where we need tourism now more than ever, and we're talking about people that haven't been vetted or wouldn't make the cut. Do people then understand and doubt our government?
You know, the state operation of government and what the governor's doing isn't really in my bailiwick right now. It's not on my scope. I've been given a new limit. I've got to cut another $500,000 out of my budget. Crime is going up. We do have more things to do, and I'm real busy with that. I'm not going to get in the middle of this wranglings on who gets appointed where. The governor has to answer for that, whoever he appoints where, if they don't do a good job. If they do a good job, he never hears anything about it because he just gets slammed. slammed all the time. So that's his bailiwick to do that, and I think that is one of the minor issues we've got in this state right now. You just had Sheila in here to talk about budget, and that is a big problem, and we're already seeing legislation being proposed that does exactly what we'd expected to happen, is that start doing unfunded mandates down to the counties and the cities, and it's already starting to come up. So there's got a lot of issues that are going to have to be addressed that are, to me, are a lot higher up on the scale than who got appointed to what job this week.
Marilyn, you're kind of an outsider to the political game. How does an outsider view what's happening in Carson City and in our state government?
I kind of take the same view as Mr. Gammack, that it's just annoying to us. It's overwhelming. The information's overwhelming. And I mean, I'm educated. I have a law degree, and I find it overwhelming and boring, quite frankly, and tedious. They get stuck on tedious things. I was just commenting on the governor's divorce, how the news got stuck on tedious information that's irrelevant. I think more relevant information needs to be provided to the public so that we can make better decisions on our front.
And on that note, we're going to have to leave you. We'll be right back.
Right now at iMasters, get two complete pair of glasses for only $99 and two complete pair of no-line bifocals at $149. Don't forget to use or lose your vision insurance benefits. Come in now. iMasters. Why pay more?
Let your heart soar. Make plans now to join the American Heart Association for the 21st Annual Fantasy Wedding Fair. It's Sunday, January 18th at the Grand Sierra Resort. Call 322-7065 for more information or log on to renoweddingfair.com.
Mattressland is jammed with too many mattresses, and the 2009 models are on the way. Mattressland has marked down all of last year's inventory to sell it now. Every Sealy Posturepedic, every Simmons Beautyrest, every Spring Air, every Stearns and Foster, every size, every comfort level, all are on sale during this once-a-year event. Plus, with approved credit, make no down payment and pay no interest until 2010. Don't miss our huge selection of Tempur-Pedic mattresses, pillows, and adjustable beds.
Mattressland.
Reno, Carson City, and Sparks.
Starting a new garden doesn't have to be backbreaking. Not when you have the Mantis Tiller Cultivator. It does all the hard work for you. The Mantis Tiller weighs only 20 pounds. It's easy for anyone to handle. The powerful two-cycle engine spins the patented tines deep into the soil. They dig down, cutting through the hardest clay and tangled weeds. They're so tough, they're actually guaranteed never to break. Yet the Mantis maneuvers nimbly, even in the tightest places. Tilling, weeding, and cultivating have never been easier. Now you can get this amazing Mantis Tiller Cultivator at huge factory direct savings. Plus, we'll give you this border edger free. Use the Mantis for a full year. And if you're not delighted, return it for a prompt, no-questions-asked refund. Call now, and we'll send you complete information. It's yours free with no obligation.
Call 1-800-711-2543 for more information. That's 1-800-711-2543. Call now.
Remember, you can download Nevada Newsmakers at nevadanewsmakers.com or on iTunes. Marlene, who do we have coming up tomorrow?
Tomorrow we're going to have a very interesting discussion with General Ty Cobb, talking about foreign affairs and all of the challenges that are going to be awaiting the new president-elect.
Thanks for watching, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.
And happy birthday, Sam.